We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The Pac-12 champion.
Duarte pulls up, three ball, bang!
Bob LJ Figueroa!
Oregon goes back to back for the fourth time in the last 6 years. The Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
Foley three, goal! Hey, Foley ball!
Three is good! D.R. Savali.
Wing, pow pow.
Yeah, boom boom.
Welcome to Duck Insider.
What a weekend!
We're just getting started.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Happy Friday, everybody joining us across the Oregon Sports Network. I'm getting ready for Oregon baseball tonight. 5:45 pregame show for the Ducks taking on the Huskies. That was really interesting. You're going to hear coming up on the Toyota Coaches Corner because I talked with the head coach for Oregon baseball this morning, actually, for the Toyota Coaches Corner. And I asked him about, hey, it's rivalry weekend. You can't overlook anything, right? And he kind of paused and went, you know, I hear what you're saying with rivalry weekend, but to me, rivalries are in-state. You know, he goes, I guess traditionally, yeah, Oregon-Washington are a big rival. But, you know, it brought up something interesting. They haven't been necessarily a huge rival on the baseball diamond. You know, there's not that sort of, like, two fists clamming together, grinding, right? Like, you don't get that on the baseball diamond between Oregon and Washington. And let's just say that, you know, the phrase of you have to have two really good teams for a rivalry to be really good and to have it really be a rivalry. Well, the Ducks and the Beavers have been that. UW's had some good teams, but this year on paper, it's not one of them. That's something to keep in mind that I thought was super interesting that Coach Wojcicki talked about. That's coming up at 5:45 tonight as part of the OCCU pregame show and the Toyota Coaches Corner when the Ducks will take on the Huskies. Man, this is going to be a big weekend for Oregon baseball. Right now on the projections, they're sitting at number 11 according to D1 Baseball. That's good enough to host a regional, not quite good enough to host a super regional if everything goes chalk. So, if you're the Ducks, got to take care of business down the stretch, especially against a team in Washington that you know they're going to come in and give them everything that they want.
The Ducks, that is. So we got that coming up. Mark Waskowski, we're going to hear from him as the Ducks currently sitting in a tie for third place in the Pac-12 standings with a chance for a Pac-12 championship still in front of them. So the Ducks have some work to do. Also going to talk with Robert Ahlstrom as Rob Mosley and I sat down with him earlier today, as well as Oregon center fielder Anthony Hall. And softball with a huge weekend series. If you're live with us in the 1 o'clock hour, we're approaching first pitch between Oregon and Arizona at 4 o'clock. This is a matchup between two top 16 teams right now if you're looking at just the RPI. So the Ducks need some wins. If they want to stay in the top 16, they want to host a regional. Remember, Jane Sanders Stadium was selected as one of the potential 20 sites. There's 20 of them. It's going to have to get whittled down to 16. Ducks really, really, really could use a couple wins here against a very good Arizona team. It starts at 4 o'clock. The Ducks will also play a doubleheader beginning Saturday at 2 o'clock before the series concludes against Arizona on Mother's Day at noon. We'll have Oregon baseball and Oregon softball going on at the same time on Sunday. We're going to hear from Melissa Lombardi, also Samaria Diaz, who set a new season high in punch-outs this past weekend. The Ducks are going to need that pitching down the stretch. Also, of course, today the Oregon Twilight kicks off. Ducks have three athletes on the Bowerman watch list in Cooper Tier, Cole Hawker, and Charlie Hunter. They will all be in action tonight. You'll be able to watch it on a live stream provided by Runner Space. It is a paid live stream, and you can find more details on GoDucks.com. And click on the track and field section. The full meet preview is there for you. Also coming up, men's tennis in the NCAAs. They will play on Saturday. What did I miss? I think that was everything. That's the schedule for you. All right, we're done. Let's get out of here. I think that this is going to be a good weekend, though. We're coming down the stretch for a number of different sports. Men's tennis, good luck to Neil Schielander and his squad, though, tomorrow morning taking on Alabama in Waco. All right, let's get into a little bit of baseball. This is a team in Oregon that's coming off a weekend where they didn't play their best, but I don't think they played bad either. And that's a good thing to say, I guess, that you know, the Ducks feel like they still had a little bit more in the tank, but you tip your cap. Washington State just played really well. The Ducks dominated the opener last Friday against Washington State before giving up back-to-back games with double-digit runs. I think that's going to be a real key here in this game to get another strong start from Robert Ahlstrom. He's going to get the ball tonight against Washington. And then it's going to come down to the defense, I think, as Coach Waskowski talked a little bit about. Myself and Rob Mosley caught up with Mark Waskowski earlier this week as we preview the 5:45 pregame show and 6:05 first pitch tonight between Oregon and Washington at PK Park.
Overall feeling, how you guys are feeling coming off the weekend, how you guys are feeling going forward. It was, you know, pretty couple of kind of jarring reversal of fortunes from Friday to Saturday and Sunday. How you feeling overall?
Good morning, first of all. For me, how do I feel overall? I mean, I think Washington State is a good baseball team, and we knew that they were a good baseball team going into the deal. We knew that going into the weekend that they were playing well. They had just beaten Cal at Cal on the road, not an easy place to play. They had just beaten them 2 out of 3. They had just pummeled Arizona at home, who's leading the conference. At, you know, they beat them 21-2 and had two other slugfests with them. Came out short with those, but then beat Utah 2 out of 3, felt like they could have swept Utah, and then also felt like they had a chance to win 2 out of 3 against Stanford. That's what they've been doing lately after they got their best hitter back in the lineup after he was out and sidelined with an injury. We knew that they were going to be really good, and they played really good. And so, you know, I don't want to take anything away from the Washington State guys. I thought they played great. I thought we didn't play horrible, but we didn't play our best. And so where's that leave us? 1-2 weekend, a 3-2 week. And, we were disappointed. I don't think the sky's falling or anything like that. I do feel like we were disappointed. And I do feel like, we just got beat in 2 games this weekend. And sometimes that happens in baseball.
What are those areas of focus this week, Waz, for your squad to get better? What are you working on?
Well, I mean, you know, first and foremost, just the understanding that everybody that you play against is going to be good. And that's a lot of times, you know, I think it was even last week on a media call before we'd even played a midweek game. And we had some guys on the media talking about our Monday Gonzaga game, which was that would have been 2 opponents and then Gonzaga, which is getting way ahead of things. But, you know, that's where people get sometimes when they start playing names on jerseys or names on schedules instead of actually playing the game of baseball. And it literally is a one day at a time thing. And so that's the first thing, is making sure that our young people understand it doesn't have anything to do with any name on a jersey. If somebody plays the game of baseball better than you do, they're going to win. And they're more competitive than you are on that day. They're going to win. They're going to beat you, and it doesn't matter who it is. That's a tough thing for people. I won't even say young people, but that's a tough thing for people, because they really assume that these young guys are robots and they ought to be able to just repeat whatever they've done, and it'll be easy, and that's the way it goes. That's not the case. And so really getting back to that message with our team this week, making sure that they understand it is about playing the game well, and the key is to playing the game well. Throwing the ball well from the pitcher's mound, being ahead of it on defense. You know, I didn't think that we played our best defensive baseball this weekend, and that's been a staple of our success. And so getting back to that, I thought that on Friday night we had plenty of clutch hitting, and then on Saturday and Sunday we didn't see the clutch hitting, especially on Sunday. Saturday we matched up against a guy who just threw the ball exceptionally well. Sunday we had some opportunities that we let slip away, and I didn't think we were our best competitive offense that we had been. And so those two things, really, the mental side of it and then specifically the physical side, really getting back to how are we going to play our best defense and nailing that with through our work this week, and how are we going to make our at-bats the most competitive version of ourselves. Getting back to those technique things this week.
You know, talk about that timely hitting, was that's something that you and I have talked about a lot. It felt like you kind of mentioned there on Sunday, that there were some opportunities early in a game to really jump on them. Is that a real big focus for you guys, a big key to sort of get that early lead, take advantage of those early opportunities when you guys have them?
Take advantage of opportunities, regardless of whether they're early or not. You just take advantage of opportunities. And when you set the table, I think there were four at-bats on that Sunday game, the third game against Washington State. They were all bases loaded type at bats. It was teed up, ready to go. For me, it was a great time to be able to deliver the blow, the knockout blow maybe even, but at least extend a lead and continue to pile on. And then that wasn't done. So, you know, that was on us.
Looks like UW profile's a little bit different, more of their strength being on the mound, whereas the Cougs were, you know, their strength more a little more offensively. Is that different, kind of a different focus when you're scouting your opponent this week?
Not so much. They have good players too, you know, and they've got some guys, they've got some guys that are very offensive as well. Some guys, at times they're not putting up big offensive numbers. Same team that went to UCLA and beat them 2 out of 3 at UCLA. And UCLA is good. UCLA has good players, probably the best talent in the entire league UCLA has. And they went to UCLA and beat them 2 out of 3. So this is another good team, another good opponent. It's a Pac-12 team. There are no easy weekends in the Pac-12, regardless of what records and whatever, you know, people want to say. It's going to be a challenge, and we need to be ready to play all three games to be able to win all three games.
Now that you're getting into the month of May, Waz, I just was curious just your thoughts on that, on just how good that Pac-12 conference is. You know, you look up and down the rankings, and you look at the standings, and pretty darn good, huh? I mean, just how good is the conference this year compared to other years that you've observed and other years that you've been a part of?
Well, I think it's always been a strong conference. You know, the Pac-12 has more national championships by times two compared to all the other conferences combined. So in baseball. And so when you talk about Pac-12 baseball, it's as good as it gets. This year in the league, you've got some really good teams. You know, Arizona's got maybe the best offense in the country. It's definitely been in the discussion all year, and they've been consistent with it. UCLA's stacked. They're really good. We beat them 2 out of 3 here at PK Park, and we could have swept them, and we could have maybe even been swept, you know, depending on how a pitch or two go either direction. You know, and when you go through the league, you know, Washington State's really good, and, you know, not many people give them a bunch of credit just because they think Washington State shouldn't be at the top or even a regional type team, and yet they are. Oregon State's got a ton of talent. They're really good. Stanford, we haven't seen them yet. They're really good. And I just talked to one coach this morning on the phone that believes that Cal has the best pitching in the league. And so, you know, and we haven't seen Cal yet. And so, you know, this league is not easy. There are no off weekends. Arizona State was really tough, you know. And so this league is a really good league. I think it's really competitive. And that's why you want to come and play and coach in this league. It's because it feels a lot better when you're able to accomplish things in this league. boy, it means something. You don't just get free wins around this league. You know, it really does mean something, and it requires a toughness to be able to have those positive results.
Just how do you feel like your group overall responded mentally once you were off the field Sunday?
That's a good question. I off day yesterday, wasn't around them, so don't know. You know, quiet bus, really pissed off bus, really quiet. Knew that we got beat. Knew that we weren't the better team on two of those days on the field. You know, and those were facts. And so we deal with the facts and we move on with that. I think that these guys know that their body of work is not just identified in one weekend. And I think, you know, 1 week we had a 3-2 week, you know, the sky's not falling, that's for sure. But still, yeah, there was disappointment in how the weekend went. Obviously, they wanted to win a series. And if it went really well, of course, you always want to sweep a series. That's how you start off. You want to win one in a row three times on a weekend. And we were only able to win one in a row one time on the weekend, which was disappointing. And the bus sounded like there was disappointment because I just didn't hear anything out of the bus. It was a quiet ride home. How they respond, let's see. I'm interested in how we've got a really good practice today. Interested in seeing how the group responds today. Also interested, I think these guys have perspective to understand that, boy, they've gone through a really thick schedule of playing good baseball. I wouldn't think that 1 weekend or specifically 2 games would rattle their cage, so to speak, but I'll find that out later today.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting hearing Coach Waskowski talk about that earlier in the week. So to follow up on that, I did ask him this morning, you know, hey, did you like the response? And he just said, yeah, we had a good week of practice. You know, one thing that you're going to hear more about coming up tonight with our 5:45 pregame show and a 6 o'clock, 6:05 officially scheduled first pitch, the team got to meet Pete Rose this week. That's right. Pete Rose met with the team on Wednesday, and it was something that I talked with Coach Waskowski about a lot, actually, on our interview. And it was here. Scott's asking, like, man, where was I? Yeah, I know. Yeah, so, yeah, that was a cool deal. The Ducks actually got a chance to meet and hear from Pete Rose a little bit, just talking about his experience. And one of the things that Coach Waskowski said that he took away from it was that he's the all-time leader in hits, has made mistakes in his career that many of you, of course, it's well-documented. But that dude just cared about winning. He said he was more proud of the wins, and that's all he ever wanted. And I thought, you know, having that conversation with the team this week, and then now you're heading into this critical stretch, it's just an awesome deal. So that was cool. We talked with Coach Waskowski about that, so we'll hear more from him coming up on the Toyota Coaches Corner here tonight. When we return, Robert Ahlstrom, Mose and I got a chance to talk with the Eugene native, the Friday night starter for the Ducks. It was a good conversation. Now, we had a little bit of fun with a guy that well, now I know what to say for his first name officially after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
On March 5th, 2021, we lost a larger-than-life member of the Oregon Ducks family. Chris Bjork passed away surrounded by his wife Allison and their 3 sons, Anders, Henry, and Jordy. After spending more than 26 years working with the University of Oregon, we are proud to establish the Chris Bjork Scholarship Fund in his honor. Go to goducks.com/Bjork Scholarship. That's goducks.com/Bjork Scholarship to make a contribution and help us remember a great Duck.
Your daily dose of Oregon athletics. This is Duck Insider from Learfield IMG College.
Tweens have mastered the art of tuning out. Jen, there's a spider in the car. We're turning your room into a home gym. See? Nothing. But some messages need to get through, like making sure they're buckled up the whole ride, every time. Do whatever it takes to make your child listen. Jen, I friended your boyfriend.
Wait, what?
Buckle up, sweetie.
Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
To buy your home, you became a house hunting ace. Learned about loans, scoured neighborhoods, and asked the right questions. Now you're queen of your castle. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll feel empowered to own your retirement like you own your home. Go to aceyourretirement.org. Because when it comes to clearing financial hurdles, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Insider presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack inside the Country Financial Studio. We're going to hear a little bit from Robert Ahlstrom, a guy who, man, he has done a lot for this Oregon team, has really given the Ducks a chance to win in every single game that he has pitched. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does tonight against Washington. I think it's going to be a good outing for Robert Ahlstrom. We got a chance to talk with him earlier this week, myself and Mosley did. And, you know, Rob and I were talking to him about something very important to start things off. And there's always been a conversation of, do you go by, you know, your full name, Robert? Or are you going to go by, like, Robbie? Are you going to go by Rob? You know, obviously, Rob Mosley goes by Rob, but I don't go by Joseph. I'm not a Joseph. I'm not a Joe either, never have been. I've always been a Joey. Joe Mack sounds weird. No, that's odd. Our old coworker Kate Hughes used to call me the Joe Mack, and it was really odd. It just felt wrong. So we asked the very important question. So do we call you Robert? Or do we call you Robbie? Well, his answer was pretty much, I don't care. he just wants to get out there and pitch. And, I talked with Coach Waskowski about this. You hear it on the Toyota Coach's Corner coming up here tonight on the 5:45 pregame show. This is a guy that does just care all about winning. And he does anything that he needs to do to get that done. We talked with him this week about his pitching and how the Ducks bounce back. And, well, down the stretch, Oregon baseball comes with a chance to host a regional. Robert Ahlstrom, our conversation with him.
But do you feel like there's some pressure this Friday to really kind of right the ship and kind of get back to playing the game as a team how you guys want to, and then therefore there's a little bit of pressure on you to kind of be that guy that sets the tone Friday?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough couple of losses there. Obviously, we want to get out of there with at least a series win, if not the sweep. But that didn't happen. That's baseball sometimes. So it's about how we react. I think this team's done a really good job of, like, after having a few bad games consecutive or just games that we should have won that we didn't, I feel like we always come out and we respond, we answer the bell. And I wouldn't say there's necessarily a pressure on me coming out this Friday. It's an opportunity. I'm excited to get out there and set the tempo, set the tone for the rest of the weekend. Hopefully we can get out Friday and just turn things around. Being at home, I feel more comfortable. I'm sure a lot of the guys do too. So that's an advantage for us. I think we're ready to get going, get back on pace.
How good did you feel last Friday, Robbie? I mean, it looked like that was as good as you felt. How good was it on the mound for you?
Believe it or not, I was actually kind of uncomfortable. They have a turf mound there, and I was kind of slipping on my landing spot, and then my push off leg. I was kind of slipping there too. But I was able to make that adjustment, in the pen early and knew what I had to do. I mean, body felt good. Arm felt good. I felt like I could put the ball where I wanted to. I was able to execute my off speed pitches for strikes, and then I extended it when I needed to as well. So from that aspect, I felt pretty good. Definitely felt locked in mentally, knew what I wanted to do from a approach standpoint and just executed it.
This opponent looks like they profile a little different than the Cougs, a little more strength on the mound. Maybe their offensive numbers aren't as prodigious. They got a guy who steals a bunch of bases, so maybe they're going to try to manufacture runs a little bit more. What's your process of scouting an opponent? I mean, what do the next few days look like, and how much or how little information do you want on the individual guys you're going to be facing before you actually take them out?
Yeah, I haven't been able to look at them in too much depth yet. We'll go over as a staff with Coach Angier. We'll go through their lineup, kind of get an idea of who are their good runners, who are their best hitters, or who's been hitting the best lately, and kind of just like their game plan, whether they're going to try and manufacture runs, like you said, or play for two or three in an inning, depending on the situation. So we'll go over all of that, and then I'll watch film, see if there's any hitters I've faced in the past from 2 years ago, kind of see how I pitched them, what worked, what didn't. Just kind of take that information. But once it gets into the game time, I trust Angier with his pitch calling. Just kind of trust the plan, because him, along with the other coaches, they watch a ton of film, so they know how to pitch the hitters. It's just about me going out there executing. And if I were to shake during the game, it's just because I'm comfortable with a certain pitch at that time. But yeah, that's what it kind of looks like right now.
A couple things. What you just said, I think it's interesting. You know, how often do you shake Coach Angier during a game, you feel like?
It depends. Like last Friday, I don't think I shook him more than two or three times. There'll be some times where, I don't know, I'm just feeling one pitch, or one pitch is not feeling very good out of the hand for me. And so that's why I'll shake. When I shake, it's never because I don't trust the pitch call. It's more just a comfortability with that certain situation. But yeah, I tend to try and follow him as much as I can, because like I said, he does a lot of research, and he knows what pitches are going to work in specific times. And it just comes down to executing at that point.
How does he take it when you shake?
He's fine with it. Yeah, he said, if I shake, just go for the pitch that I shake to. Just go for it with conviction and don't doubt it. And then if there's a certain time where I shake to a pitch where that's the hitter's strength, he'll kind of coach me up on that in between innings, saying like, hey, this is why I called this. If you shake to this rather than this, just because this is what his swing looks like and it's kind of good for that pitch. So he'll just kind of coach me up and walk me through his thought process on it and why he's calling the pitches, which is very helpful.
There's a lot of chemistry between you guys. And then, you know, I'm kind of curious too, Robbie. I mean, I've been so impressed with the way that Jack has caught for you too. And, you know, Waz and I have talked a lot about how there's just a certain chemistry and flow with the way that Jack goes about playing defense. I mean, how much does that help you as well, that you just can have so much faith in the guy behind the plate for you?
Yeah. I mean, he's been working hard. He's made huge strides since the time he got here. Since the time like I first started throwing to him last year in the fall to now, it's the strides he's made has been incredible, and that's because he's a hard worker. I mean, his work ethic is up there with the best of them. And I mean, there's been times it's about learning the kind of player you are. There's been times like in scrimmages and stuff where the pace, him getting in the signs, hasn't been fast enough, and I kind of get on him about it, and he makes the adjustment, and we're at the point now where he knows exactly what tempo I need. He knows when to slow me down, when I might be losing control. He knows when to come out and take a visit. So just him just learning about me and how I perform best, and then me learning how to work with him, it's been really good lately, and hopefully we can continue to do that.
You know, on that note too, like as a pitcher, a catcher that can get you a couple calls, you know, can make a huge difference. I mean, it's looked to me like when I've gone back and looked, and you guys are going to look at this a lot more than I will, that he's got just a really subtle way with the way that he goes about framing. I mean, do you kind of see that too? Like, is there a certain like chemistry too there where you think that he can get you a couple calls and you can pitch to that sometimes?
Yeah. I think it's comes down to familiarity when, I mean, I've been throwing to him for a while now. He's been catching me pretty much every game now. So he knows how my pitches work, how they move. So he's more comfortable with receiving my pitches because he knows exactly what they're going to do. Just like down in the bullpens where he's working on that. And then Coach Martyr working with him every day on receiving and like, how can I get better? Like, he has a good game, but how can you get better off that? Like, what can you learn? Just that. So yeah, always working with that, working with me. And yeah, he definitely has stolen some strikes for me this year, which has been nice.
I love that at the end, you know, when I ask him about framing, because we all know, like, some catchers are better at it than others, right? I was taught, and I'd have to actually ask Coach Martyr if this is how he teaches him, but it's never a subtle jerk move. It's always a semicircle, right? Like, you're always taught, catch the ball, little semicircle. That was how I learned how to frame. I'd have to ask Jack if that's how he's still teaching the catchers, if that's still a thing. But, you know, I thought that was cool, though, to hear Robbie Ahlstrom talking about how, hey, Jack Scanlon actually didn't have the tempo and the pace given signs that originally they wanted, and now it sure looks like they're on the same page. I'll be watching for that tonight against a Washington team that actually likes to manufacture runs. They will get guys on base. They will steal some bases. Lindsey Meggs, the head coach for Washington, he likes to do a few creative things offensively. It's going to be a chess match, I think. And Robert Ahlstrom on the hill, Jack Scanlon behind the plate, that might be the biggest key here tonight, and it's probably going to be a big key moving forward. It's not just the defense once the ball's in play. It's the entirety of it, right? It's the defense when a guy is on first base mid-pitch. That's I think, what is going to be the key to this series here this weekend. Ducks and Dogs coming up, 6 o'clock first pitch tonight. I'll have the call on the Oregon Sports Network. When we come back, it looks like the Ducks have settled on a starting center fielder. Yeah, we're going to talk with Anthony Hall after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hi, it's Jan from Toyota. Summer's finally here, and with a great deal on a new Camry, RAV4, Highlander, Tacoma, and more, you can celebrate all of your favorite summer holidays, like Cinco de Mayo, Independence Day, International Pizza Party Day. Pepperoni, please. And by pepperoni, I mean Hawaiian.
Kick off summer at your Toyota dealer, where you can save big on all your favorites. This event ends June 1st. See your participating Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
You're listening to Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Whoa, long time no see. It's me, the Rock t-shirt in the back of your closet. Dude, remember? You crowd surfed in me, man.
But you haven't worn me in like forever.
I get it, you're retired, but I still got some rock left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here with you, it's Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're live inside the Country Financial Studio. Thanks for being with us. Oregon baseball coming up tonight. We're going to hear from Anthony Hall in a moment. First, though, Oregon softball. Reminder, this is a big weekend. Four games against Arizona, two teams that are in the top 16 in the RPI right now, the top 16 teams, according to the committee at the end of the year. They're going to be hosting in the regional round. So it's an important weekend for Oregon softball, as they've got two regular season weekends left. Calling all cookie lovers. Talking to you, Scott Phillips. Crumble Cookies, you can check it out in Eugene off of Coburg Road. They've got a new churro flavor, I understand. Haven't gotten one yet. I'm hoping that we end up getting some churro cookies here. Also, if you're thinking about dinner tonight, get some takeout from North Fork Public House, northforkeugene.com. Anthony Hall, I think, has really settled into the center fielder position for the Ducks. So we've seen Bryce Betcher. We've seen Colby Shade as a defensive replacement. We saw Robbie Ashford. I think Anthony Hall, after his ridiculous performance down at Arizona, man, that was about a month ago. And since then, we've seen an awful lot of Anthony Hall, not only in center field, but in the two spot in the batting order. I think he's provided a little bit more of a steady approach for Oregon. Plays pretty good defense overall. We talked with him earlier this week. Rob Mosley and I caught up with, I think, the guy who is the starter moving forward, Anthony Hall, the center fielder.
You know, Anthony, we've been talking with Coach Waz a lot about just the response for you guys this week. How did you guys feel coming off this weekend, and what do you feel like the response needs to be this week?
I mean, it's obviously not a good feeling losing a series, but I think we just got to get to work and prepare for UW this upcoming week. It's over in the past, and all you can do is move on.
How do you balance kind of maintaining a sense of confidence and maybe even a little bit of a swagger that can help you perform well, while also kind of being on edge that, you know, you could lose a game on a pitch. You can lose a series even if you think, you know, you're a pretty good team. How do you balance kind of being on alert with also being confident?
I think we just got to like stay poised with like every pitch we play, and don't get too high on the wins and don't get too low on the losses. And I think just keeping poised will help us.
For you, Anthony, take us back to the beginning of the season. I mean, a lot of talented outfielders. You guys are competing, and it seems like you've really settled in playing well the last few weeks. What was that competition level like leading into this season, even back into the winter months?
I mean, it's just a competition literally every day, like you said. I mean, we're still competing for a spot. Nothing's guaranteed every day, so just got to compete.
What have been the keys for you to really get confident at the plate? And what maybe went so right in that series against Arizona that you've been able to carry forward?
Just honestly, just trusting my abilities and not trying to do too much and just staying within myself.
How do you go about scouting? What's your process for getting prepared to face a pitching staff? How much or how little information do you want when you go up to the plate by the time the weekend comes?
Personally, I like having like a decent amount of information just so I can keep a simple plan. I don't want to go in like too much into depth because then I start overthinking. But I think for me, just keeping a simple plan and just having simple cues for myself helps me a lot.
Are you a big tech and analytics guy, like working with Brett to get some of that information? Is that a big deal for you?
Yeah, it is for me. I'm a huge video guy. So like right after the games, I'm on Sidex just looking at my swing already. But yeah, I love hitting. So I'm always into that stuff.
So what do you look for there, Anthony? I mean, like right after a game, where do your eyes go when you start downloading all this stuff and getting it into your own brain, I guess?
First, I kind of see how they pitch me, see if they cross count me or what pitches they throw to me first pitch, and like how they pitch the other hitters before me. And then after that, I just break down my swing, starting from my lower body up, and just see what's breaking down, if it's not working or not.
Is there a teammate you'll go to and talk to much? I mean, is there a teammate who's considered like a guru of kind of the fundamentals of hitting that you guys all bounce stuff off of?
I kind of just see what everybody has to say about their own swing, because like I feel like everybody else has their own perspective on what they need to feel and how they swing, I guess. So I bounce around and ask everybody. I mean, the top guys I would probably ask would be like Aaron or Gabe, KY. Those are the top three.
Coach has been talking a lot about how there's really no easy weekends in the Pac-12, Anthony. I mean, just how big is this weekend? One, it's rivalry. Two, you're into the month of May down the stretch. I mean, do you guys think about that at all? That like, man, these get really big. These get fun down the stretch.
I mean, we play every game like it's the biggest game, because, I mean, it truly is, if you think about it. I mean, you can't just take a game off. But I don't think we try to stress ourselves like out too much, because, I mean, just puts too much – not too much, but unadded pressure that it's not necessary. So we just try to keep poised, like I said earlier.
Poise was the key for Anthony Hall. Talking with him earlier this week, myself and Rob Mosley, I thought he was very poised, you know, and – you see that from a young man who's really started to find his rhythm at the plate. And hearing him talk a little bit about his approach to scouting, I thought that was interesting when Rob asked him that question. You know, it's different for everybody, but he's already post-game looking through how they pitched him. He wants to learn from that. Those are the guys that are ultimately pretty darn successful. Oregon baseball against Washington coming up tonight. Series begins at 6 o'clock, a 2 o'clock first pitch on Saturday, and a noon first pitch on Sunday. Ducks and Dogs, a 3-game set at PK Park as we enter into the month of May. And man, the Ducks are in the hunt for a Pac-12 championship, and it is darn fun. When we come back, Oregon softball head coach Melissa Lombardi will talk with us. We've got a few things to get to as the Ducks hosting a 4-game set against Arizona. They only got 4 games left on the schedule for Oregon softball. A lot more to talk about after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hi, welcome to the Spicy Drive-In. May I take your order?
Can I get the spicy chicken sandwich, please?
The spicy chicken is an excellent choice, sir. And to drink?
Whatever's fine.
Oh, may I make a beverage pairing recommendation this evening?
Sure.
If we are feeling especially bold tonight, sir, I would recommend the Mountain Dew with that. It's bravely unrestrained with a very alive aroma that pairs wonderfully with your spicy chicken. It's followed by a hint of zesty citrus flavor.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I'm sure you already know this, sir, but remember to appreciate the nose first by giving the Mountain Dew a little swirl to really volatize it.
Vola what?
To change the flavor compounds and activate your taste buds to get them fully primed. looking for that chicken sandwich.
Ah, it's delicious.
Now you're getting the hang of it. The muscular flavor charge characteristics of Mountain Dew make for an absolutely epic mouthfeel when paired with spicy cuisine. It is quite on point, sir.
Dude, it's a perfect match. Like they were made for each other.
So true, so true.
When you want to make good food bolder and bold food better, do the Dew.
Don't go anywhere. Duck Insider continues after these messages on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Learfield IMG College.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
They say that car crashes happen in slow motion. The reality is that crashes happen fast. There's no time to think and no time to check if your child is in the right car seat. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your kids in the right seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Get more info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. I'm Joey Mack in the Country Financial Studio. Today's show brought to you by our friends at Shadow Hills Country Club, your family resort just minutes from home. Call for a tour today. Oregon softball this weekend against Arizona. The Ducks will take on the Wildcats, a 4 o'clock start today if you're live with us in the 1 o'clock hour. It'll be a 2 o'clock start on Saturday for a doubleheader and a noon start on Sunday. Remember, that second game on Saturday will not count toward the Pac-12 standings, but when you're facing a team like Arizona, oh, boy, this is a big weekend for Oregon softball. I think I truly believe this. If Oregon wins this series, they go 3-1, doesn't matter if it's the Pac-12 three games or not. The Ducks go 3-1, I think Oregon is going to host. As long as they take care of business then the next week against Cal, I think that matches up well for Oregon in terms of getting that regional host and being one of the 16. But big challenge. Arizona's really, really good. Melissa Lombardi talking with the media this week about, last weekend and heading into this weekend, some of the challenges ahead. Here's Coach Lombardi talking with the media.
Take me back to the initial conversations with Shea of, I know she has an additional year of eligibility had she wanted to use it, but obviously she's chosen not to and to move on. And the big picture, yeah, what has she meant to you in this program?
Yeah, I think for Shea, she had an additional year. Last year she had a surgery on her hip. And I think, too, just as you get older, you start to reflect a little bit and see what would be the best thing for you. And I think Shea did that and felt like this being her final year would be the best thing for her. And I support her on that, if it's this year or if it's, you know, we're that fifth year. Shea has been great. I can't say enough about Shea. I love the competitor that she is. I love how she plays with emotion. She's a team player. She wants the best for everybody. So with this being her last year, we're definitely going to miss that next year, but I think that's a piece of her that she'll, you know, leave on this program. But I'm also excited for her and seeing in that next chapter, you know, you, while they're here, you get to watch them play softball and, you know, deal with the grind of being student athletes and what they're preparing for in that next chapter. So when that chapter comes, it's awesome to see. You get to see all the hard work that they've put in and to see what is next for them. So I'm very happy and excited for her.
Just to follow with that, how important is it in general to have a player like her?
For sure. You're going to have to yank her out of the lineup. She's not going to come out easy. She's got a high pain tolerance and she loves to play the game and she's going to stay in. There's no way you're going to be able to pull her out. And that's what I like about her. That's what I really like about Shea and just the competitor that she is and the love that she has for the game. So she has definitely made her mark on this program. She has touched this program, and I'm thankful for that.
Missy, I was just curious, obviously you're facing the murderer's row schedule here, and it's not quite over with Arizona still coming in. Where's the team's confidence at right now, and how do you think this stretch could help you guys if you get it straightened out in the next month?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been a grind, this whole conference, but that's what it's about. And I've watched this team grow, and, you know, would we like to get some more W's? Absolutely. But seeing how they're competing and things that they're doing is what I want to see from them. And this is preparing them for postseason. It's preparing, it's preparation. So I, this team is in good spirits. This team comes to practice every day to work hard and to get, loves playing with each other and for each other. We're looking forward to an unbelievable weekend to celebrate our seniors and also compete against Arizona. We realize we've got 2 weeks left, and bring it. That's what it's about. It's about competition. And if you don't get exactly what you want, then you got to figure out how to get better and to continue to move forward. And that's what's impressed me the most about this team.
You've acknowledged being very real with them about the metrics, Missy. So is this weekend for you? Is this, hey, you've got to get to, otherwise hosting at all a regional is off the table? And you're 16th in RPI. It is what it is. So is this a, you must at least split this weekend in order to host a couple of weeks from now?
I would tell you, we sit down and they have it all figured out. They understand what everything looks like. Every weekend is a must weekend for us. I don't think I need to tell them anything about what this weekend is. They know what's at stake. They realize that. I think for us, it's just coming into the weekend, taking it one game at a time, and going from there. But to go, we have to, we don't need to anything. Just trust that what we've been doing and their ability and our ability in our team, and let's get after it.
Is this top to bottom the most talented offensive team you guys have faced?
They're explosive. I mean, top to bottom, they're great. I mean, the offense in the pack is strong. So every weekend we're facing talented offensive lineups. U of A has always been very talented offensively, so I wouldn't expect any different from them. So we know this matchup. We know what we're getting into, and we're excited for it. This team's ready to compete.
How do you kind of treat this weekend with the seniors? It's kind of like the women's basketball program pre-pandemic. They would always have a big senior day, but they knew they would host a couple NCAA games anyway. I guess with James' question, you might be on the edge there, but do you approach it like, leave it all out there, this could be it at the Jane for some of you guys?
You know, to me, one thing that we've talked about this whole year, and I feel like ever since we started here, was to really just stay into the present and enjoy what is right in front of you. And that's what I want them to do. I don't want them to worry about, oh, well, this could possibly, that all is so out of our control. To me, it's about coming this weekend and competing with your teammates, and going after W's and putting it all out on the field. And that's it. I don't think there's really any more to discuss because you don't know. I mean, we could, you know, you could do everything right and still not host. You know what I mean? You don't know what could happen. And so I don't think we need to dwell on that. I think we just need to continue to go out and enjoy the fact that we're home and to celebrate our seniors and to compete.
Your thoughts on Denim in particular and what she brings in the circle? And
yeah, the pitching staff's good. Denim, she's you know, an elder for them and has pitched a lot of innings for them. She does a great job moving the ball around and changing speeds. And Mariah, I got to coach her at Oklahoma, and I'm proud of her and her success that she had at Oklahoma and what she's doing at Arizona as well. So, no, I think it'll be a tough, you know, it'll be a dogfight this weekend. But like I said, this team has worked and prepared, and we're excited to get after it.
We Toyota Women's Sports Schedule Spotlight as the Ducks will take on the Arizona Wildcats in a four-game set beginning today at 4 o'clock, doubleheader Saturday at 2, and then Sunday at noon for the Ducks taking on the Wildcats of Arizona. It is senior weekend, as you heard Coach Lombardi talking about it. We talked with her earlier this week on the show. Samaria Diaz, big addition to the Oregon pitching staff. She's coming off a weekend where she was really, really good. Set a new season high in punch-outs. Ducks are going to need that pitching down the stretch. They probably are really going to need it this weekend And Samaria Diaz sat down with the media this week previewing Oregon softball in Arizona.
Going into senior weekend, just kind of what are your thoughts, I guess?
I'm excited. I'm anxious. I'm nervous. I'm sad. I'm happy. I'm all the feelings, you know. Woo, I'm already getting emotional now. You know, just thinking about, like, this is a sport I played for almost 18 years, you know, and it's almost coming to an end now. You know, I just want to go out big and, you know, go out on my own terms.
Mario, with all that experience you do have and, you know, having still a very young team going through this gauntlet of a schedule right now, where do you think the team's confidence is right now, and how close do you guys think you're to getting back rolling like you were earlier in the season?
I don't think we've ever lost confidence in ourselves. I feel like we've always had that grit in us. And, you know, whatever comes to us, comes to us. We always handle our challenges face forward. And, you know, we're staying us. We stay true to us. You know, every day we come out to practice, we have the same mentality. And I feel like in game times, we have the same mentality. Physically, we always know we have to make adjustments. And that's the biggest key to our game plan, is just make adjustments sooner.
What have you seen on tape so far of Arizona, just their lineup, because they're leading the Pac-12 in a lot of categories?
They're just a competitive team. You know, I feel like everybody we play, you know, it's always competitive. We know we're gonna have to fight every game, every pitch, you know, and we're just gonna take it by then, pitch by pitch, and, you know, we'll keep it going.
Two series left. What are you kind of hoping to get out of this weekend? Last top 10 opponent, and it's already been a struggle this back end of the season with UCLA, Washington, Arizona State. So what are you hoping to get out of this weekend?
I hope we just play our game, you know. I feel like we've had times, moments of our game and stuff. We just need to keep it consistent throughout the rest of the game. If we have that every game for the rest of the year going on, we're undefeated. I believe in our team. I believe in our staff. I feel like we're such a great program here, and we're working hard and stuff. So I feel like it's definitely going to show soon.
What were you doing like 1 year ago, and what has it meant for you and the other seniors to have this chance to run it back?
Yeah, definitely. A year ago, I was at home doing absolutely nothing, taking classes still online, probably laying in bed, you know, making at-home workouts, trying to stay in shape just in case for something to happen. We were waiting. Coaches calling each other, hey, you never know, we might come back in May and finish out the season May, June, July. So honestly, it's just a blessing to be here today and getting out to finish out my year this time, full season, which is great. I'm so happy.
Do you guys realize the stakes now that it is getting closer to the end of the season-wise in terms of, you know, obviously you know you're going to the postseason, but being on the cusp in terms of top 16, and that this weekend will play a very, very significant role in whether or not you guys get the host or not?
Mm-hmm. We don't play too much into, oh, our rankings and stuff. I feel like day-to-day, whoever we face against, we face against. You know, we're going to play our best game. They're going to give us our best game. And, you know, we'll go from it from there. And based on that, I believe in our team. We're going to fight through whatever. We've dealt with so much already. You know, nothing that comes to us we can't handle.
So, when you first joined the program, just who were the players who stuck out to you as far as when you're a new player joining in, like who is laying out like this is what the culture of this team is beyond coach, obviously, but mm-hmm. to the players, who were some of those players who did that early on to say like, all right, this is how we do this, this is the way we approach this? And
I honestly feel like the whole team as a whole, defensively, offensively, mentality wise, I feel like I was put in a situation that was difficult, but I felt so welcomed by my teammates, like Rachel on defense telling me where to go, Bunker on defense telling me where to go, Shay behind the plate sometimes, Tara, even though she didn't play the season before, Tara ran, she understood what I needed as a pitcher, and Haley just knowing everything, been there, done that. So it was just great to come into all this, and, you know, now I have this experience too. It's so cool just because I'm making an impact on the freshmen. The freshmen are making an impact on me, you know, and I'll take this stuff with me for the rest of my life.
Samaria Diaz with some great words there, huh? Pitcher for the Ducks, and they're going to need her this weekend against Arizona. Four-game set begins Friday this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Doubleheader starts Saturday at 2, and then a noon first pitch on Sunday. Pac-12 Network for the last three games. It's going to be on ESPN2. Big national showcase game for the Ducks in Arizona here coming up this afternoon. When we return, talk about a big showcase. How about the Oregon Twilight? God, New Hayward Field, man, it is something else. We're going to look at that meet when we return on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
Duck Insider, Duck Insider, Duck Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Okay, man, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Show the world that you're tougher than tough. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The Country Financial Studio. It is Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. I'm Joey Mack, your Toyota Women's Sports Schedule Spotlight, shining on Oregon softball this weekend at the Jane. Looking forward to it. Toyota, let's go places. Today's show also brought to you by our friends at Hoodoo. Always see you for all the different fun that you can have at Hoodoo, Hoodoo.com, and Go Ducks. The weekend schedule, of course, includes the Oregon Twilight. If you're live with us approaching the 2 o'clock hour, then in just about 50 minutes or so, they're going to get rolling as the meet will begin. And then, of course, rolling on into the twilight. That's why they call it the Oregon Twilight. It's one of the most picturesque things that you'll ever see. I hope that the weather cooperates for the folks at Hayward Field, because it will also be a day to remember not just the seniors for Oregon softball this weekend, but the seniors for Oregon track and field at Hayward Field. Man, what a long 4 years, 5 years it was for some of these seniors, right, that they didn't really have a Hayward Field to participate in. They practiced at Hamlin Middle School for a while, and now they've got this brand-new Hayward Field. Unfortunately, we still can't have a full-capacity fan base to be cheering them on, but let's hope that that changes here in the coming days. So the Oregon Twilight tonight, it's going to feature a pretty significant field, a number of elite runners, and to be fair, some of the best are not even collegiate athletes. There's a lot of them that are running unattached, and I shouldn't just say running, competing unattached. That Bowerman trio, though, that we talked about earlier of Cole Hawker, Charlie Hunter, and Cooper Tier, they are still on the watch list on the men's side, all three of them for the Ducks. And they are entered into Friday's loaded field in the 1,500 meters. The 1,500 is going to be legit tonight. You're going to want to tune in for that. There is a live stream via Runner Space that is a paid stream. Also, the NCAA 60-meter champion, I should say, Makai Williams, and Kemba Nelson, both of them, receiving votes in the latest update to the men's and women's watch list. So what we're getting at with that Bowerman group is that the Ducks have some of the best athletes in track and field. We knew that, but having them on the Bowerman list sure is impressive. And Oregon enters this weekend with 13 top 10 national performances, five of which came from last weekend, actually. So the Ducks are continuing to stack the deck in their favor heading into the NCAA championships. The Oregon Twilight is tonight. For a second consecutive week, the men of Oregon, number three in the country, heading into the meets this weekend. And the women's side, Oregon is at number 13 in the nation. Not bad. So in other words, Robert Johnson has it rolling. We're going to recap all that on Duck Insider tomorrow. We got baseball on the Oregon Sports Network this weekend. Softball, our buddies at KWVA are going to have the call on the radio side for that as well. And good luck to Nils Schielander at Oregon Men's Tennis tomorrow morning in the NCAAs. We'll see you Monday.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Hundo P. Hundo P. Adjective. Short for being 100% sure or certain. As in, if we get a puppy, I'll Hundo P always walk it.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
I'm probably okay to have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert.
Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm place on a cool day.
I
want to
be
day.
A football
I
stadium.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.